Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth, only me talking the truth, ayy. You know it's Taz and Moose, you know it's Taz and Moose, ayy.
Ah, yes, it is Taz of the Moose with you here on this Tuesday morning on CBS Sports Radio as we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams. With their help, they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You've got Mike Pete across the way. Andrew with your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time we go. Ryan Wilson is going to join us next hour. Obviously, a friend of the program, covers college, covers the National Football League for CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ. Has joined us numerous times over the past couple years on our show and is always a good guest. So look forward to that conversation next hour as we kick this hour off with a little pigskin pileup.
All right.
It's now time for the pigskin pileup. Taz and Moose circle the wagons around the NFL.
We certainly do in New York with the Giants as their head coach Pat Shurmur, following a loss to the Jets over the weekend. And a lot of people speculating about the future of Pat Shurmur with the Giants and whether or not he's going to be fired after the season or during the year or whether or not he has job security. And put all that aside, with Saquon Barkley now coming back off the high ankle sprain, and he's been back for a couple games now and has not looked the same. And we know he got banged up in the Jet game and had x-rays and negative x-rays after the game. Pat Shurmur said yesterday that there is no plan to shut Saquon Barkley down.
Remember, you know, we were talking about this yesterday. You brought this up, I think, yesterday in segment one of our program here. And my point was, I think I don't want to put words in my mouth. I'm pretty sure your narrative was shut him down. You know, what do you get to lose here? I agree with it to a degree, though. I feel like that. I felt like they're not going to shut him down, so I'm not shocked by this. Unless he physically couldn't go, because he's making money. He's fixing to get paid eventually, big money. And he's the star of the team. He's the draw of the team. You know what I mean? So they can't. They got to roll him out there. He's got to play. This is a business. It's a sport. It's a game. They don't want guys injured. I know that. But they can't keep guys out because they don't want to get them hurt when the team is losing.
What about paying guys that are hurt?
Well, no, you should. If a guy's medically cleared, he should play.
No, I understand, but I mean, he's clearly not the same.
Is he medically cleared? He is medically cleared.
I understand he's medically cleared, but he does not have the same burst. We can all see it. He does not. He cannot. Does not have the same lateral.
Then why is he cleared? I'm not arguing that. Just a rhetorical question.
No, you could be medically cleared, and you can still physically play, but you're not going to be 100%.
Okay, so then you know what you do as a coach? You utilize him different, and you accentuate his positives. You hide his weaknesses. So maybe you don't run the ball as much. Maybe you run him out of the backfield. I don't know. And throw him passes in the flat. Maybe he's, you know, maybe he's doing more short.
You think he looks
stuff.
The same physically?
No, I don't.
I look at it, and look, that's fine. They can continue to roll him out there. I mean, when the Giants later on in the year, I think they take out the Miami Dolphins out at MetLife Stadium. I don't know how many people are going to be packing the house to go see Barkley on December 15th.
I know what you mean.
Against the Miami Dolphins.
But go get it. I know. It's funny. No, and you're right. I got you.
They stink.
But you know, he's got big-time fan base, this kid.
I understand.
You know?
I'm just joking around.
No, I know. It's funny. I got you, Joe.
The point being, though, Taz, is that, you know, they're not a... I mean, there's going to come a point here this season where if he does not come around physically... where he starts to resemble the player that he did a year ago. We both love Barkley as a player. It's tough to watch him running the football now because he doesn't look like the same guy, and he didn't all of a sudden age, you know, 20 years in the span of one offseason. Yeah. You know, he's not 100% healthy. So, I mean, I look at it. I get why they're not shutting him down. I think there might come a point this year where they do.
Well, like I said yesterday, they got the bye week now. Okay, the Giants do. So maybe he gets another week here with no contact, or just his body can heal up, his leg, whatever it is. I mean, Mike, you're a Giant fan. Mike, you're a big Giant fan.
Yeah, I thought you were about to ask.
I'm going to ask a question. It's a buildup. I get people's attention. That's what I do. I don't just say, here's the question. It's all about the buildup. To get people's attention on the radio. Do you understand?
I got you.
Thank you.
So here's the question.
Right, here's the question. Spock. So you as a Giant fan, okay, do you want to see him play or not?
Shut him down.
You want to see him shut down?
Yeah, let's see you next year. No need to see him run for 57 yards, have a touchdown, and lose to the Dolphins. Don't matter.
All right.
Maybe I'm not competitive, but I'm just thinking long term.
No, I don't think it's about being competitive. Moose is kind of saying the same thing. I think maybe a lot of people would agree. I'm not saying, again, I think I'm confusing some people that work on the show with my point on this.
No.
I understand your point. I just disagree with it.
Yeah, but why? Hold on. Do you guys think that I'm saying he should play? Is that what you guys are thinking? Am I coming off like I'm saying he should play? Somebody answer me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought you were talking to Michael. Yeah, I think you're coming off that he should play.
Then I'm coming off the wrong way. What I'm saying is they're going to play him because he's medically cleared and he's making money. He's a star of the team. Do I think they should play him? Probably not. No,
okay.
To what you guys are saying. I agree with you yesterday on that point. Quasi, what I'm saying is I'm giving you the other side of they're going to play him.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
No, and I get that. I understand why they're playing him. I agree with you. Listen,
I expect my points to be clear.
I got you.
You know what I mean?
Loud and clear. We got it. I understand that that's the reason why Barkley is obviously going to give it a go here moving forward. He's not going to be shut down. Pat Shurmur and the Giants, they're hoping maybe they're able to finish this season strong, and Shurmur might need to win some football games here. All right, how about out to Detroit we go, the Lions.
Oh, all right.
And Matt Patricia and the Lions face a little bit of heat because of what they knew when they knew it in terms of the injury surrounding their star quarterback, Matthew Stafford. Now, Patricia yesterday said that Stafford is still day-to-day, week-to-week, and said that he had scans done Friday, prepared the team for any possibility on Saturday, held out hope Stafford would feel better Sunday. He said that he and Stafford made the decision for him not to go out there and dress. And the National Football League, is investigating just what they knew when they knew it in terms of the availability of Matthew Stafford, because there are some players who said they were told Saturday that Stafford was not going to be given a go Sunday, and Patricia and Bob Quinn, their general manager, has said the decision was made Sunday. So if the decision was made Sunday, how do players know on Saturday? Now players may be new on Saturday because they talked to Stafford, and because Stafford said, "I don't think I'm going to be able to give it a go," but the official decision was not made. I don't know if they did they officially tell the players something differently, and then it did not get out to the media until Sunday. Maybe they want to. I mean, that's a no-no when you look at the National Football League, Taz. This is something that's a headache that I think will go away pretty quick.
I think so.
But
it's
one that the Lions need to deal with and address right now.
But I think what happened was, and I think it happens more than people know. I mean, I think, you know, these players all have a close bond of friendship with these trainers, the people that work in the training room, because they deal with them every day. You know, so they get to know them over time. And a guy like Matt Stafford, he's been there a long time. And, you know, he probably got word from one of the trainers or one of the doctors that there's a good chance you're not going to be able to go. Maybe he knew. And, you know, so he probably was telling his teammates, yeah, I don't think I'm going to play. I don't think, you know, that's probably what happened. Listen, man, they just lost. They lost two in a row, and now they're about to lose their third against the Cowboys. I think they're playing the Cowboys next. They lost to the Raiders, then they lost to the Bears, and now they're fixed to lose to the Cowboys on Sunday. So, you know, they're actually dead last in their conference, but actually, when you watch them play, they're actually not that bad. They've just been losing games. It's kind of weird, right? You know, They're not a terrible team. They're really not, the Lions.
Raiders made a goal line stand. They, you know, if Stafford played against the Bears, I think they beat Chicago. He doesn't. And it's a monumental drop off when you look at Jeff Driscoll at quarterback as compared to Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
But they're not a bad team. They're not as bad as their record would lead you to believe. I don't look at them as being a 3-5-1 team.
I don't either. They're dead last in the North there, but you know, and what do you got here? Green Bay 8-2. I'm looking at it here. Minnesota 7-3. Chicago's 4-5. And then the Lions are 3-5-1, like you said. So, yeah. I think Patricia eventually, it's going to take him another year or so to get this team to be. At first I wasn't buying into him. You know, once he left the Patriots, went there and all that. I got to tell you, like I said, you know, we just talked about, you know, they're better than the record looks. And I've watched them play a couple times this year. You know, they're a good team, and I think he does a good job with his staff and stuff. I do.
I don't disagree with you in any way, shape, or form. I think it's been better year two than it was year one. We'll see exactly what this Lion team does and what the availability is of Stafford here moving forward, Taz. All right, down to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. The Redskins have made it official. Dwayne Haskins will be the Redskins' starting quarterback here moving forward the rest of the regular season. Interim head coach Bill Callahan made that announcement yesterday. So he got his first NFL start up in Buffalo against the Bills. It was a loss for the Skins. The Redskins ran the ball well. You saw some of the mental and physical errors from Haskins in that game. Clearly, he's a work in progress. You'll learn a little something about him, I guess, about Haskins. I mean, I don't know if the coach is in place that's going to be leading that franchise here moving forward, if the offense is in place necessarily. He's a little bit more of a work in progress than anything else, but he's going to gain experience. And for all those who are clamoring for Dwayne Haskins here moving forward, you're going to get him for the Washington Redskins. Sink or swim time.
And I think you kind of have to do this. I mean, you're a Redskins fan your whole life.
They're not going anywhere. Play him.
I mean, you agree with this, right?
Yeah, I don't disagree. Yeah. Play him.
I mean, it's just see what you got. I mean, that's it. I'm sure Haskins is happy he's playing. I know he's, you know, I mean, he's just getting a chance to, he needs reps. He needs reps, and you know what? Your team completely sucks right now. You're 1-8, so get him reps. Get rolling, and so be it. God willing, he stays healthy. And then that's it. You rock and roll. I'm going to get the Jets next. So, you know, that should be two bad teams battling. So, they're playing the Jets, right?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. I mean, they're. I look at it, Taz. I think for the Redskins, it makes too much sense. You got to play them. You got nowhere else to turn. You know, for this coaching staff, I don't know how many of those guys are going to be retained. You don't have no idea where the Redskins are going for their next head coach. Well, I mean, maybe it's a guy on staff. Maybe it's O'Connell who made the offensive coordinator. Maybe Bill Callahan.
I was going to ask you, do you want to see Callahan be the guy?
I mean, it wouldn't be the worst hire in the world.
Oh, you seem so indifferent.
Well, about Bill Callahan? I mean, is that really going to – would that excite you?
No, let me tell you. I think I might have mentioned this once before.
What excitement?
Back in the day, when he was the head coach of Nebraska, of the Cornhuskers, I was following Nebraska heavy for a few years. Like, this is during my WWE years, I guess. And I hated him.
Yeah.
I mean, I hated him. I mean, I think he's a great offensive line coach.
Yeah.
And that's that. That's my opinion. That was years ago. So
yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I think he's a very good offensive line coach, assistant head coach, all those things. I would not look at him as being a head coach guy. But I mean, the Redskins obviously seem to do a lot of things differently. We'll see in terms of what they ultimately decide to do as their head coach. How about the Los Angeles Rams? Their starting center Brian Allen suffered a knee injury during their loss to the Steelers on Sunday out in Pittsburgh. He is now done for the year. Whatever can go wrong has gone wrong for the Rams this year. They've dealt with a lot of injuries. They've dealt with some nonsense. Clearly, Goff is not taking that monumental step forward. Gurley doesn't look like the same running back. The offensive line has struggled. You would think I was talking about a team. They're still over the 500 mark. Still got a shot at making the postseason here. Got off to a very good start here, Taz, but have struggled as of late. What about now losing Allen as the anchor to that offensive line at the center spot?
It's a problem. I mean, I got to tell you, I did not expect the Rams, like in the beginning of the year, for all this stuff to go down. I just expect them to be really good again. I mean, they had so many of the main components are back locked in, and you sign your quarterback to a big, new, shiny contract, and you know what I mean? Like, you got all these weapons from Gurley and Goff and Kupp and Woods and Cooks and this and that. Whitworth, a hell of an offensive tackle. Now, you know, your center gets hurt. That's a problem. I don't know, man. It's just, I don't know. You got Aaron Donald, arguably the best defensive player in the league or the best player in the league. You don't hear nothing about him.
No.
So, offensive line what? So, offensive line coaches throughout the NFL have figured out how to block this guy? Is that what you're telling me? I don't know. find it a lot to believe. I don't know what it is. It's just how is this guy not wrecking things right now, Aaron Donald? You know what I mean?
Well, I think he's making.
I'm just saying, no one's talking about.
There's not the conversation. You're right about that. There's not. Well, they haven't won enough games, Taz. They're 5-4.
Right.
You know,
right.
If we're looking at a team now that had 8 wins on the year, and you know we're 8-1 instead of being 5-4, I think we talk about this team a lot differently than we're talking about them right now, right?
Last year we're talking about them. Everybody was talking about them so much, nonstop. Jones. I mean, yeah, no, I, you know, it's just it's I don't know. You got to wonder. I mean, like I said yesterday, everybody's going crazy about the coach. Oh my God, this and that. You know, McVay, it's like, who cares now, you know?
No, you're right about that. So they lose their center. We'll see what that offensive line does here moving forward, Taz. Did want to mention one more thing before we go to break. And that was any time that you see an athlete pass away and they're in their 30s, Charles Rogers, 38 years of age, the former Michigan State star,
yep.
Who was the second overall draft choice in 2003, by then Matt Millen and the Detroit Lions, and was as good of a player, a two-time first team All Big Ten, you know, a Biletnikoff Award winner, unanimous All American in 2002. He was an amazing player at Michigan State. Could not stay healthy in the National Football League, and things went awry and never reached his potential in the National Football League. But to hear the news that he passed away from kidney failure and cancer at 38 years of age. To me, it was jarring. It was stunning. Very, very young, 38, way too young to be leaving this earth, and clearly a guy that had a hard life after his NFL career came to an end.
Very sad. Yeah, it's very sad. Like you said, a young guy, hell of an athlete, hell of a player. I mean, battling cancer, it's how do you... What can you say?
Well, it's terrible. I mean, it's terrible tough to see. And
it's very sad.
And for all the people out there that don't remember, you know, that weren't, you know, college football fans at the time, to our younger audience members, and you hear the name that, you know, Charles Rogers passes away, you know, take it from Taz and myself. When he was at Michigan State, you're talking about one of the great receivers, you know, that you've seen. He was an amazing.
He was.
Not a good. He was an amazing college football wide receiver, like just an amazing athlete and a great player. He just couldn't stay healthy in the National Football League, Taz. I was stunned because I look at it, Taz, you know, I'm 43 years of age, right? You're a little bit older than me.
Right.
I see a guy passing away at the age of 38. I'm like, 38 years old, Taz.
Yeah, that's so young, and it's just sad. It's just sad, you know. So prayers with his family and everything and his fan base, and it's just a horrible, horrible situation.
Yeah, certainly. Thoughts and prayers from the entire Taz and the Moose family out to Charles Rogers and his family. It's Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. On this Tuesday morning, it is Taz and the Moose with you. And Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ, will join us a little bit later on the program. Sunday, NFL on CBS doubleheader featuring a battle between two of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the sport when Jackson and the Ravens welcome Watson and the Texans, followed by New England bracing for another tough road game in Philadelphia against the Eagles. It all starts with JB and the guys in the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific only. On CBS.
Yeah. And that's something else, huh? That's something else, isn't it?
What's that?
No, I was talking to myself. I was thinking, I was having a conversation.
All right.
I didn't know my mic was on. So.
What's going on, Bogus?
Hey,
how are you?
It was here.
Oh, hey, I'm back, guys.
Any updates?
No, not even a little bit.
All right.
The Seattle Seahawks could have won, then could have lost, before actually winning in overtime in Santa Clara on Monday Night Football. They had the ball first and were in field goal range as overtime began.
Wilson claps his hands, takes the snap from Hunt, allowed for Hollister, intercepted! Dre Greenlaw picks it off, coming back the other way, 20, 25, 30, hold the ball,
keep
breaks
going.
A tackle,
go.
40, down the sideline, still going, he's out of bounds on the Seattle 45-yard line!
Papa Tim Ryan on Niners radio, one of them saying be careful, the other saying keep going. After the interception, it got the Niners eventually to the Seattle 30, but it stopped there, that drive did. So out came kicker Chase McLaughlin, who hit from 42 with 1 second left to force OT, but he missed this time from 47. So they played on. The Seahawks drove back down the field, and Jason Myers kicked the 42-yarder as OT expired for a 27-24 win. A week ago, Myers missed two field goals and a PAT. His head coach, Pete Carroll.
It's a great illustration of his teammates supporting him throughout. In the locker room immediately last week, they were supporting him so that he would be ready to do this that we needed tonight and come through. Man, there ain't nothing better than coming through like that.
The Seahawks are now 8-2. The Niners 8-1 atop the NFC West. The Eagles have signed guard Brandon Brooks to a four-year extension through 2024. It's worth $56.5 million, $30 million guaranteed. That makes Brooks the highest paid guard in the league. James Harden scored 39 points last night in New Orleans. 19 of them came in the fourth quarter. 13 of those came in 1 2-minute span. The Rockets winning 122-116. The Clippers rallied past Kawhi's old friends from Toronto 98-88. The Raptors led by 5 entering the final period. Leonard scored just 12 points, missing 9 of 11 shots. The Jazz down the Warriors 122-108. And the Celtics fought off the Mavs 116-106. Kemba Walker scored 29. Celtics forward Gordon Hayward had surgery yesterday for his broken left hand. He's out 6 weeks. Kings guard De'Aaron Fox reevaluated in 3 to 4 weeks after spraining his left ankle in practice yesterday. A minor surprise in college hoops last night, Winthrop a win at number 18 St. Mary's, 61-59. Winthrop lost the night before at the buzzer at Fresno State. Mets first baseman Pete Alonso and Astros DH Jordan Alvarez, you are rookies of the year. Alonso got 29 of 30 first place votes after a rookie record 53 homers. On ice last night, the Coyotes blew a 3-0 lead, then won in Washington 4-3 in a shootout. The Hurricanes smacked the Senators 8-2. Guys?
Wow, a spectacular job, Andrew.
Yes, that's exactly
right.
We're
listening.
Really good, man.
So a little bit of a fallout, certainly. Ed Orgeron had a curse-laden, I guess, rant to his players at a pump-up speech after the game, after their victory down at Alabama, in which he used some not-safe-for-work words, and that video was sent out by some of his
Tremendous.
Players
yeah.
On social media and stuff like that. Here's Ed Orgeron, who's got one of the great voices in college football, the head coach at LSU.
Coaches, best voices in the world.
Yeah, no doubt. on his players streaming that video. Take a listen.
Coach, what is your opinion on your players live streaming and things in your locker room?
I wish that wouldn't happen. Yeah, that shouldn't happen. And I addressed the player that did it. He felt bad about it. You know those they so used to having those phones on them all the time. I mean, we have pregame meal, and I said, okay, will you turn your phones off just a little bit so we can say the prayer? So we say the prayer and boom, they're back on their phone. So I think that's just the product of today. Everybody carries their phone with them all the time. I don't think it was done with malintent or nothing like that. So I addressed it with the young man. I don't think it's happening again.
And as far as what got out, a lot of your fans love it.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, what's your opinion on what got out?
Well, you know, the things that I say outside through media is those are the things that I want to get out. And if I wanted that to get out, I said that outside. But, you know, you get emotional. You talk to your team, it's your family, just like we all talk to our family. We talk around the dinner table, we say some things that's outside the family we don't say. And it was no means to hurt anybody or nothing like that. It was just a fiery moment, a very emotional moment with our team. That's all that was.
I love this guy. I mean, I wish I could still play. I'd go play for this guy. I mean, really, everything he said is on point. And listen, him, you know, it sounds like he forgave the kid who live streamed it because he understands the generation and these kids are obsessed with their phones. Not just kids, people. And you know what? I mean, kudos to this guy. I mean, Ed Orgeron. This guy's the man. His voice is phenomenal. His attitude's infectious. And him cursing and going crazy and going off about the victory, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I got no issue.
Man, you're a coach.
I got no issue with it. I really don't. I mean, and I think that certainly you could have issue with the players streaming it out there for everyone to take in, because there's got to be, obviously, you know, Antonio Brown when he was hopping on Facebook Live when he was a member of the Steelers, and after their playoff victory in Kansas City against the Chiefs, hopping on Facebook Live in the locker room and the like, and seen other guys do that over the course of time, and it just shouldn't be. I mean, it's something that can't happen, and I doubt that player will ever do it again. I think it's going to have ramifications here moving forward? No, I don't. No. I mean, I think Alabama will probably remember it, but what it comes down to is the talent on the field, the players on the field. I don't think it's all of a sudden necessarily, especially with the great turnover that you see in college football, too. Not as much in college football as there is in college basketball, but there is still turnover year to year. It's not like you're going to be looking at exactly the same team a year from now when these two teams meet up. So it's going to all look a little bit different a year from now. I give Orgeron credit. He's firing his team up. He's getting, he's certainly excited about the win. It's a hell of a victory. I mean, Ed Orgeron's had an interesting journey himself. Got to remember, he was part of Pete Carroll's staff out at USC. He went to Ole Miss. He failed as a head coach at Ole Miss. You know, then he was the interim coach. He went back to USC for Lane Kiffin, right? Then he became the interim coach out at USC once again. And then when they decided to go in another direction, he ends up down at LSU and ends up taking over that staff when they got rid of Les Miles. And he worked his way into being the head coach down at LSU when a lot of people thought that there were other guys going to take the job, right? Bigger names, guys that were flashier names, Taz. Guys that maybe the boosters were more excited about, and he's done a remarkable job. It's a credit to him, the road that he's gone down and the failures that he's had. And honestly, I think he's perfect for LSU football.
Yeah, me too.
I think he's perfect.
No, I agree, and it's proof's in the pudding. I mean, they're kicking ass and taking names. And I got to tell you, if you're Nick Saban, you know, head coach of Alabama, you're not upset about what this guy said in his locker room after the win to his team. You know, you get it. Now, if you're Nick Saban, what could upset you is that, you know, a handful of LSU players are at Alabama, on Alabama's home stadium right after the game, going over and telling Alabama's recruits, you might want to reconsider your commitment to Alabama football and come play for the LSU Tigers. That's something that if I'm Nick Saban, I'm going to be really pissed off about. And I might make a phone call or say to Ed Orgeron, listen, you probably don't know that your players did this. I know you didn't tell them to do this. But you need to talk to number 9 and number 7 and whoever else is over there from your team. Because I saw the video online, and it looked like they went over and they were telling these guys to, you know. And I don't blame the players. I understand why these kids are doing this, because they're proud of their team, of LSU, and they want to get better players there. Young guys coming out of high school. But if you're Nick Saban, this might bother you a little bit, especially that it ended up being online.
Well,
all over the place.
Right. I don't disagree with that, but how do you stop it?
You stop it? Well, if you're Nick Saban.
No, I'm talking about, you think Ed Orgeron's going to go to those players and say, knock it off?
He might not. I mean, I would assume there's a good level of respect between Orgeron and Saban. And I'm just saying, I would do it. If I was Nick Saban, I would have maybe an offline conversation, a private conversation with Orgeron. Say, listen, man, I know you didn't tell these guys to do this, but this is what these guys did. And they went over and they started talking to our recruits. This is why a lot of schools, what they do, I know they did it with my son with lacrosse. Like when you're a recruit, they put you high up. They don't put you close. and put you with all the players. You know, they keep you high up away from this.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen more so a case with the football that they're down on the field like they were for Alabama LSU.
Yeah, they were in the end zone area.
Yeah, I see that more being on, or they're on the sideline down the line.
Once the game starts, though, I think they have to be up.
No, I get it, but I'm talking about during the pregame and everything that. Yeah. They're down sitting on the sideline, or standing, I should say, on the sideline.
Yeah, because they want to give the players a feel.
Correct. A feel for everything that's going on. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. If you're Nick Saban, you don't want that to happen.
No.
But are you going to make the call to Ed Orgeron and tell your players to stop it? I mean,
I don't think he will. He's got a lot of pride. But yeah, sorry.
I know. I was just saying, recruiting's so dirty and nasty, where there are coaches that at the last second are trying to recruit guys, even though they verbally agreed to schools, to try and get them to reconsider. I mean, I guess, you know, isn't that just all part of the game?
As a dad, I lived it.
I get it.
I'm not going to name the schools, but yeah.
Isn't players going up to other players on the field?
That I haven't seen much. I'm sure it's happened. That's a little different. Coaches trying to poach on the private when no one knows, not in front of a whole stadium full of people or with people with cell phones. That I've never seen. Coaches poaching during the week, leading up to privately, when the kids are seen, that happens.
I doubt it's the only time that's ever happened. That's my point. Point being is I'm not talking about coaches trying to poach coaches. I'm talking about players going up to recruits.
Of the opposing team, I've never seen. I'm not saying it's never happened. How the hell would I know? There's so many football games or baseball games.
That's my point. And my point being is that I mean, this one is on video, right? I mean, it's so like, I get it. I guess I look at it as in terms of major college sports recruiting. It's so nasty and it's so dirty.
Right.
That, I mean, isn't that just all part of it? I mean, I doubt they were instructed by anybody on that LSU staff to do it, right?
I don't think Orgeron told them to do that. No,
anybody on that staff.
Do you know? I don't think anybody told them to do it.
I mean, I think they were just talking a little trash and basically saying, right, hey, listen, if you want to join the winners, you want to, you know, take a look at our locker room.
That's what it was. They were excited. They just won. And,
yeah.
And it's a way for them to have swagger at Alabama, wearing your LSU uniform if you just beat them. You know, now you go up to their recruits and like, yo, you guys come into the wrong spot, that type thing. I'm sure Nick Saban has too much pride to contact, Ed Orgeron about it. But I would think that if you're close with a guy, if you're good friends with a guy, you might say, oh, man, your guys did this, blah, 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 off the record. You know, I would make sure my guys wouldn't do that. But it is dirty. I agree with you. I've seen it. I know it's dirty, the recruiting game, in all sports, not just football.
No.
So it's very dirty, you know, so... and football more than anything because it brings in the most money to all these schools.
I think if you're committed to Alabama, right? If I'm going to Alabama, I know what I'm getting myself into. I'm confident then. You know, if I'm one of those players, you know, because both schools, all they do is produce pros.
Sure, I know.
Left and right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's strange when you're watching an LSU game and you see Randy Moss's son lining up for LSU.
That is strange.
I mean, that is strange.
Oh, he was going crazy. You see the pregame last night with him? Oh, my God.
Well, how could you not? His son made an unbelievable catch.
No, I know he did, and it's awesome.
He wears the taped-on eye black just like Randy Moss did.
I know, and that's
over
great.
The nose, over the bridge of the nose, that's across awesome. Both, that's underneath great. Both eyes. But
Randy Moss going on the Monday Night Football gimmick and going crazy. It's like, I'm a proud dad, too. I understand, but you got to have a little, you know, decorum.
Oh,
come on.
Taz, I'll be honest. If I was in that role, I would. If I was an all time great like Randy Moss, one of the best receivers, and my son is playing for LSU and making the kind of catch they did against Alabama, you wouldn't be going crazy. I'd be going crazy.
Not 2 days later when I'm doing my job, getting paid seven figures doing a Monday Night. I would do a little bit.
That's
he's a proud dad. I respect that. But he was going nuts. He's very loud, too, Randy Moss. Very loud in the mic. I know. It's a great catch. I saw the catch. Amazing catch. I understand. No, he does that. You got Moss.
I can't knock him because I probably would do the same thing.
You know what you got, Moss? This? You know what this is?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. You're not a big pregame guy.
No, I see. It's all over Twitter and social media.
You got Moss.
Yes.
And then they did the one at the end.
I know. I know. It was great.
I know. Everything's great.
I loved it. I liked it. Obviously, you and I differ on that.
That's
you didn't love it.
It's no problem.
I thought it was entertaining.
It's great.
I felt he's a proud papa.
I'm about being focused.
He's a proud papa.
I know.
Looking at his son.
I'm a proud papa. You're a proud papa.
I feel old watching Randy Moss's son play for LSU.
That does make you feel old.
I remember that. I remember watching the draft and watching Dennis Green with the Minnesota Vikings.
Marshall,
God rest
right?
his soul.
Coming out of Marshall. The Chad Pennington on the same team?
Correct.
Yeah.
Watching Randy Moss drop in the first round and him selecting him. The Minnesota Vikings. Crazy. Yep. Crazy how quickly time does go by. It's Taz of the Moose. We come back. We'll mix a little baseball. Rookies of the Year were announced last night. A Met one as Met fans celebrate and rejoiced across the country. And the Knicks, an embarrassment in the NBA. Are they already scapegoating their coach? We'll get into both. We'll do that next. It's Taz and Moose on a Tuesday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
You ever have to get something to do this? Yeah, I can.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
And then I'll tell you what I have to tell
you. Okay. I'm looking forward to it. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to Geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. All right.
You ever have a... You know, like for the harvest time, like my wife, like for the harvest. House. That's what they're wearing, right? This is a harvest time or not?
Yeah.
What are we having?
I'm not a farmer. Very harvest.
No,
season.
Bro. Like Thanksgiving's harvest.
Oh,
no?
Thanksgiving time.
What the hell are we in?
Thanksgiving season, yeah.
That's the harvest time, isn't it? Is that autumn? I don't know.
I never really thought of it. Since I was never a farmer, I never really knew when harvest times were. Is this harvest time? I'm not sure.
I think it is.
Okay.
Mike's looking into it. But here's the thing.
No, I'm not.
Well, okay, thanks. So here's the thing, though. What I'm saying is, you know, like my wife, I'm sure your wife's the same way.
Yeah.
The decorations, you know, for the Thanksgiving, just like you have the Halloween decorations and all this, the Christmas, whatever. Maybe you do the Hanukkah, whatever you do, whatever floats your boat, right? So we got these, like, little scarecrow guys, little scarecrow kid, and
nice.
A little scarecrow girl. A boy and a girl.
Nice.
Right? They're little, like, 2 feet tall. So my wife always puts them by the door. So I come home the other day from the gym with my son. I went to the gym.
Is that more for Halloween, though, than...
No. Okay. No. It's not for Halloween. They do have scarecrows for harvest time. Okay? Pete, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes, that harvest season.
So anyway... So what happens is, bro, I come home, and I pull in the drive. I'm like, what the hell? They open the gates up, and the little boy's on his he's belly down. He's on his face. It's not windy out. I'm like, what's going on? My kid's like, I don't know. Let me go see. I go look at his pants. They're all ripped up.
Mm.
Like, ripped. I'm like, man.
Animal.
I stand them back up.
Mm.
Later on in the afternoon... I'm having a little vegetable minestrone soup and a glass of wine.
Mm.
And I hear a thump on the porch. So, you know me. I got the baseball bat. I got a knife. I'm ready to go, right? I don't know how someone got on the property.
Cat-like quickness.
I have cameras everywhere. I look at one of my cameras. Dude, I catch the little thing red-handed. There's a squirrel. He's got little Jimmy, the scarecrow. He's ragdolling this SOB all over the porch.
Nice. Good for him.
I mean, this squirrel is whooping Jimmy's ass.
Mm.
I tell my wife, Jimmy's getting his ass whooped. She's like, who's Jimmy? Right? So I go out there. The squirrel, get out of here. The squirrel scrams. And there's Jimmy. He is a mess. I'm all upset.
Poor scarecrow.
And then the skirt on the little girl, her skirt was ripped. My wife comes out. She goes, what happened? I said, the squirrel attacked Jimmy. And she goes, what happened to the little girl's skirt? I go, I don't know. I guess a squirrel did that. She goes, that squirrel's a little perv. And then we got to throw the both the things out. And
yeah,
that
was damaged.
That's the story.
Wow.
I said to my wife, you want to throw them out? She goes, I'm not, those, an animal attacked it. I'm not bringing those things back in the house.
Well, okay. Well, they're ruined.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, no more scarecrows for you guys.
That's my Thanksgiving story.
That's harvest season.
Harvest.
Yes.
Right. It is harvest time. Season.
Well, there you go.
I think it is harvest, though. I do think it's because, you know, you have, like, acorns.
Yeah, know. I'll go with it. It's harvest season.
What do you call those long horn things that you have for Thanksgiving on the table? You know, it's like a horn, like an arch.
Cornucopia.
Yes.
A cornucopia, right?
Yeah, that's a cornucopia, correct. Yes.
Is that what it's really called? Don't
yeah,
blame
yeah. yeah, it's a cornucopia. Right. Pete's right. He's on top of it.
Wow.
Yeah, he knows what he's talking about.
Pete used to work at the craft store when he was a kid.
He probably did.
Anthony's.
Well, he got done celebrating yesterday. The Met fans celebrating the Alonzo Rookie of the Year in the National League.
I put it out there on the Twitter. I was very happy. It's awesome.
I mean, you couldn't get enough of it. He really couldn't.
Hey, to us,
he was down
Met
in
fans.
FLA. And,
that's great.
You know, he was thanking a certain private jet company for getting him down back home yesterday on his Twitter account. That's when you know you've made it, when a private jet, I believe it was Wheels Up, are taking you and getting you where you needed to go in order for the Hall of Fame announcement. He was not unanimous, though. There was one voter that decided to go with Mike Soroka from the Atlanta Braves, as Pete Alonso is your Rookie of the Year in the National League.
That's great. It's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm very happy.
I'm very happy
for Pete Alonso. He deserves it. There ain't no one going to argue with it. It's really that simple.
No, he's a great player.
That's right. Damn
right. Great hitter, great home run hitter. Does it bother you, though, as a Met fan, that, you know, Wednesday night DeGrom's probably going to win his second straight Cy Young, that Pete Alonso won the Rookie of the Year? Does it bother you as a Met fan that you really weren't all that relevant?
Nice. Well done, Yankee fan. that you got to just rain on the parade.
No, I'm just curious.
Just
smirk
on your face.
No, no, I'm not smirking. No, no, but does it really, because, you know, not every year's the same, right? I don't expect Alonso to hit 53 home runs this upcoming year. Right? Do you expect Jacob DeGrom to win a third straight Cy Young? I mean, he could, but can you really expect it?
So just, again, let's examine
the question you asked me
and how you asked me.
Yeah, does it bother you the fact that it's kind of a wasted year?
No. I'm proud of these guys for the individual accomplishments, and because we couldn't win as a cohesive unit, we won, what, 87 and 77, 86 and 70. I'm happy for these guys. I'm proud of them.
Oh, no, I'm not. That's not the story. That's not what I'm asking. I'm not asking whether or not you should be proud of them.
What are you asking me, Moose?
I'm asking you this. It doesn't bother you that the Mets did not make the playoffs and take advantage of guys having great years.
It bothers me every year they don't make the playoffs. I don't care if they have individual great years or not.
But there are years where the Mets are just bad. When they were rebuilding with Sandy Alderson and there was little to no expectation, you go into it, it was about developing of the young player, and you see Harvey for the first time and he makes his debut against Arizona. And he has, you know, 8 or 9 strikeouts, and Matt Harvey all of a sudden captures your imagination. You see DeGrom come up, and you see Syndergaard come up, and Wheeler, and then Wheeler sent down, and Matt's, and family in attendance out at Citi Field. It was all about the development, right? Continue the process, developing the young player, and you didn't really have expectations going into the year. That's being realistic. I mean, I understand the old college try, and anything can happen in sports. I get that, but you had little to no expectations, right? You came into this year with the expectations set down by the general manager, Brody Van Wagenen, that you got to win. That their expectation, you win. He made moves to try and win in 2019. And you have guys that are having amazing years. McNeil had an amazing year before he went down with the broken wrist or the fractured wrist, right? Alonso, rookie of the year. Jacob DeGrom, going to be the Cy Young Award winner for a second straight year in the National League. And you don't make it to the playoffs. See, I would look at it saying it's a lost season because I don't know if I can necessarily expect those guys to be just as good. They might be, obviously, really good. But are they going to be nearly as dominant? Do you expect Alonso to have 55 home runs next year?
Unbelievable. I'm laughing.
What are you laughing about?
I'm laughing. You're making me laugh.
Why am I making you laugh? Because you can't
just sit here and say and be happy for the Mets and be happy for the Mets fan.
I am happy for the Mets.
Instead, you guys say, does it feel like it's a wasted year? What a negative slant that is.
It is
a
wasted
year. And a typical negative slant by a friggin' Yankee fan. Instead of sitting there saying, oh, hey, Taz, how awesome. Pete Alonso, 3-time National League Rookie of the Month. How about that?
Well, can I ask you, well, who cares about the National League Rookie of the Month?
Well, no, it's a big deal.
He won Rookie of the Year. That's the most important
thing. I know that, but I was getting to that. An all-star, one that wins the Home Run Derby. Go through his accolades. Put him over. Instead of saying what you're saying.
We talked about Alonso a lot during the regular season. He's an amazing player. I talk about him all the time on SNY. It's not a knock on Pete Alonso.
Oh.
I'm not knocking Alonso.
It's a knock on the Met fans. That's what it is.
I'm asking you as a Met fan, the fact that you're disappointed. I'm disappointed as a Yankee fan. They failed this year.
Well, I am disappointed now after hearing your commentary. I'm disappointed.
Don't you look at it and say, well, it's a failure? When you hear Brody Van Wagenen at the GM meetings was asked about, you know, where's Yoenis Cespedes in terms of where's Yoenis Cespedes in his comeback from the fractured ankle or ankles,
He's been out 7 years with an ankle injury.
And Brody Van Wagenen said, I'm not going to get into my conversations with Cess.
I know, it's annoying, dude.
Does that bother me? No, I'm looking at Taz. Don't you look at, like, when I have two guys that have amazing years, one a pitcher, one a position player, and two
one
of the
one offensively, one defensively.
Right. Two of the better players in all the National League and all the Major League Baseball, and I can't get myself to October.
Dude, you're unbelievable. You really are. I understand. Listen, every point you make is factually correct. Like, everything else you ever say is always factually correct.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
I've had mistakes.
So I understand that, but, you know, but the thing is, instead of just letting just the Met fan have 10 minutes of smile, of joy, 10 minutes, Pete Alonso, hey, he had 85 extra base hits. He led the NL. Hey, he won the home run derby. Hey, he was an all-star. Hey, he had three
runs. Great year.
Yeah, he's the rookie of the year. Instead, aren't you disappointed, Taz? That your team actually sucked with a great offensive guy and a great defensive guy.
You won 86 games.
Hey, but wait, Moose, he had 120 ribbies. What about that? Oh, who cares? No, 53 home runs.
I never said that.
Andrew Bogus is looking at me like, we're going over here. See you later.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.